Welcome to Hubbub, the People's Podcast, where we engage our citizens and investors with the activities of the Planning and Code Administration and encourage everyone to contribute to Hagerstown's growth.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Hubbub Podcast. I'm Donnie Harcum. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Paul Falk. How you doing today?
Oh, doing great. Just looking forward here to getting spring started.
Yes, we are in April and the weather's getting nice out there and it's enjoyable to be outside again, which is awesome. So it's also the time of the year that our department is preparing for the renewal of our rental licenses. Each year, as we prepare for these renewals, we like to share with our audience general information about being a landlord in Hagerstown. Back in episode 10, we discussed what is rental licensing, and in episode 22, we discussed why there are interior inspections with our rental program.
And kind of keeping with that theme, we're going to talk again here in April about another topic related to rental property ownership here in Hagerstown, but one that doesn't really kind of involve our office, but we do get a lot of phone calls about. So that's why we wanted to talk about it today, just maybe help people understand things a little bit better. And what that is landlord-tenant relationships, whether or not they're good relationships or they turn into disputes that are bad relationships, just in general. But our office doesn't always get involved with these types of situations, but we do receive calls about them on a daily basis. Now, some of these landlord-tenant relationship discussions can range far as like non-payment of rent, the upkeep and maintenance of the property, and also even evictions that we do get calls when evictions are occurring, whether or not it's a landlord doing the eviction or a tenant that is being evicted. Each state can vary and jurisdiction can vary by state as well. So we're not really going to go like we do sometimes across the country. We're going to focus more on Maryland and then also our jurisdiction as well, just so that we can kind of get people more focused on what's this for our podcast. So if you're listening outside of this area, it might be good information for you, but it might not be something that pertains to you in your particular area. So always want to make sure you follow up with your local jurisdiction on what the rules and regulations would be. When it comes to landlord and tenants, each person has an obligation when they're signing that lease, whether or not the tenant have obligations they have to fulfill or a landlord has obligations that they have to fulfill.
Absolutely. And, one thing we want to talk about is how to have success in this type of partnership with your landlord or with your tenant. The number one thing is to keep the communication open. It's much easier to get things resolved if cooperation exists between both parties. An item our office gets put in the middle of sometimes is usually maintenance issues. A tenant will contact our office to report an issue within their residence, and the first thing we ask is if the issue has been communicated to the landlord. At times, this is the case, but in other instances, the landlord has no idea about it, and we're the first ones to be reached out to. And the communication about a potential issue should not go through our office first, but through the landlord. Another way to avoid bad relationships or disputes is to get everything in writing. This is beneficial for both the landlord and the tenant. Oral lease agreements, they are valid in Maryland, but not here in Hagerstown. Per Chapter 197 of the Hagerstown City Code, written leases are required, and this has been in the code since July 1st of 2014. And all leases are to meet the requirements of the Maryland Real Property Law 8208. And all leases are to include the crime-free housing provision. A tenant that violates this crime-free provision is in consideration of breach of lease and a good cause for immediate termination of the tenancy. So it's very important to have that crime-free housing provision in your lease and to adhere to it. And another way to avoid any disputes is, as a tenant, to pay your rent. There are resources that we'll discuss later in the episode, but take advantage of those resources if need be. Also, as a tenant, if you're having trouble making payments, work with your landlord, see if you can get on some type of payment plan. If a payment plan is worked out, get it in writing. And as a landlord and tenant, negotiate the terms of the lease early on. Most of the times, a standard lease is used, but if there are certain circumstances or accommodations that need to be made, make sure you talk about that early on so there's no confusion later on down the road.
and Donnie has a good point. If you're a tenant that's listening to this, a lot of our landlords will work with tenants on trying to resolve things, because it can always be harder sometimes to find a new tenant for a building than it is to keep the one in place. So if you happen to be one that is struggling, do certainly work with your landlord on that and not use our department as a vessel to try to resolve any type of issues. Certainly, you know, work on it yourself and make that communication there. One of the questions that we do get asked also too, that as Donnie mentioned, you know, we do require by local city code that a written lease is required, but we get asked about applications. Are applications required, or is there an application fee? Can a landlord even charge me an application fee? We don't have a local code on that, but there is state law that pertains to it. Maryland state law does state that a landlord, if they have five or more rental units at a property, they can have an application fee charge for you to apply to rent a space in that building. So that is a Maryland law. And the application fee covers things such as just processing the application and doing credit checks. That as a landlord, if you're here, you should be doing credit checks and background checks on any potential applicants that you have coming into your property. And the landlord, they're entitled to an application fee of $25 or less. You know, if the fee is more than $25, the landlord does have to justify the expenses for that, but they are entitled to keep up to $25 of an application fee by Maryland law. And that, you know, if there is an excess of $25, that that if it's not returned to you within 15 days, that the tenant, you know, that's moved in, or the tenant that made application for that, that they are to return that fee if it's over $25 if they can't justify the reason why it's over $25. If the landlord does keep more than $25 for this, this is where if you're a landlord, you want to make sure you're aware of it, that a tenant could ask the landlord to provide a written explanation and then the expenses that were incurred and the cost going back on that, and they could actually incur extra fees against the landlord for those application fees that are over $25. Maryland does penalize the landlord for that part. Now, if we're going back to written leases, like we talked about, they're here required in Maryland, and our oral leases are required in Maryland, but written leases are required here in Hagerstown. There are certain things that you should have, though, by Maryland law in that written lease. You need to have in the move-in date and when is rent due. That's an agreed-upon term that everyone needs to know, so that when they're moving into a property, they know what is their move-in date and when is the rent due. Also, the late penalty. Landlords do have the right to charge a late fee for any rent that's not paid on time, and Maryland law states that it's not more than 5% of the rent that is owed. So if it's $1,000, then that's a $50 fee for the late fee. A landlord may not terminate a lease, though, without in writing for less than 30 days. This has been as of October 1 of 2021 that the landlord does have to give written notice of filing an eviction. So that's something that, as a tenant, you should be aware of, that you shouldn't be getting the notification just in the mail from the court. It should be notification from your landlord that this filing is going to occur. You know, that if there is a, you know, when there is the written lease, like here in Hagerstown, we would certainly recommend for, as a tenant and as a landlord too, that you have rights in Maryland law to actually view this lease prior to it being actually signed. So you can actually review it for yourself, maybe have family and friends look over it with you, and if you have the ability, maybe even an attorney, just so you can fully understand the terms of a lease. Leases can be very long. Some of them are long lengths, they're multiple pages, a lot of legal terms in it, and you want to fully understand those. So by Maryland law, you are allowed to ask for a copy of the lease prior to signing it to review it for yourself. Now, the lease itself, though, it doesn't have to have your name on it, doesn't have to have the address, doesn't have to have how much rent is, when rent's due. It's the general terms of the actual lease. So it doesn't have to get into the details of the specific property, but it can give you the general terms of the actual lease. It's good to understand, like, are there any type of automatic renewal provisions that are in that lease? And then also the returning of the security deposit. So these are things that can really answer a lot of questions up front before you even sign the lease, that you might not have that relationship problem with that landlord kind of knowing about stuff. And the one thing too that this will allow you to do is to understand things about pets. Are they allowed in this property or not? It might be a question that you might not think about that time, but then you have the kids get older or something, and you're like, hey, can we get a dog or a cat? And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, I don't know if I can. And you get one, and then the lease says that you can't. So you want to be aware of that term. Also, parking. Here in Hagerstown, we have a lot of street parking, but there is parking in the rear. Is that something that people are allowed to park in, or is that solely for only just for the usage of that rear area of the property? Also, you know, what are the storage areas? We know that we do inspections of places that the attics and basements sometimes are actually locked off for access. If they don't need access to any type of equipment in those areas, that is illegal that the landlord can lock off those areas and not provide access to those storage areas. So you should be aware of that. Also, any noise. Here in Hagerstown, we do have a noise ordinance you should be aware of. Our police department does most of the enforcement associated with the noise ordinance, but you should be aware of what noise can be created, especially in a multifamily dwelling. Also about carpet requirements. So you might have hardwood floors and you're looking at going, man, I really like these hardwood floors. But there are some lease provisions that could say that over 50% of the hardwood floors have to be covered by some sort of carpet or rug. So there could be a provision in that as well. Also, with trash requirements, we do a lot of trash enforcement, so you should know when the trash is having to be collected at the property or where you can store it at on the property. There are codes in that provision, and a landlord probably has that in the lease to follow those types of things. Also, the maximum number of occupants. That's something to be well aware of. Something that our department gets called about a lot is that how many people can actually reside in this property. You might think it might be good that you know you have friends or family that might be struggling and want to move in with you for a while. That could actually be a term that you might be breaching your lease because the maximum occupants might be 5 and you just moved in another 4 people with you and you already had a family in there yourself. So that's something that you want to be aware of. And then also what the move-out procedures actually are. You know, what are the steps you have to go through if you are terminating the lease with the landlord after the term has expired? Another question that we get is, are receipts required? You know, sometimes, we get asked, well, the landlord didn't provide me with any receipts or the tenant is not providing the copies for any court purposes. You know, by Maryland law, a landlord is required to give a tenant a receipt for rent payment upon request or one that has been paid in cash. So it is supposed to be identified to them that, I paid my rent and I paid it on this date.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one I didn't know about. You wouldn't think that would be required, but it's good that it is. Again, all this goes back to just keeping those lines of communication open between both parties. It'll solve so many issues and just ask questions. So, all right, so what about security deposits? First, what exactly is a security deposit? Well, this is any money a tenant pays to a landlord that protects the landlord against damage to the rented property, failure to pay rent, or the expenses incurred due to the breach of lease. The security deposit may not be more than 2 months of rent. If a tenant is overcharged, the tenant has the right to recover up to 3 times the extra amount charged, plus a reasonable attorney fees. And as a landlord, I'd be cautious of the amount of a security deposit for those reasons. As a landlord, you must give receipt for the security deposit. There's a $25 penalty if you do not give a receipt to your tenant. And a landlord must put the security deposit in an escrow account. When returning the security deposits of $50 or more, the landlord must include simple interest of 3% per year accrued at monthly intervals from the date the security deposit was paid for all the tenancies that were initiated prior to January 1st, 2015. For tenancies that began on or after January 1st, 2015, the interest rate is payable at 1.5% a year or the simple interest rate accrued at the daily U.S. Treasury yield curve rate for 1 year as the first business day of each year, whichever is greater. So some interesting facts there about security deposits. There's a lot more that goes into it than just handing over money to the landlord.
Right. And I'll be honest, I have my degree in math, and I don't know if I could have figured that out. I would certainly want to have been able to have someone be able to help me with this to understand what a security deposit is. That's why attorneys are always good to assist with those, or also any landlord association. We have a local landlord association here that's always willing to help people when you join their membership. So that's certainly something you might want to consider if you are a landlord to join the Washington County Property Owners and Landlord Association. They can certainly provide assistance with understanding security deposits and what's required by Maryland law.
I know a lot of people, they're either surprised when they get that extra money back from their security deposits because of that interest, or they didn't know anything about it, you know? So it's an interesting thing.
And like you mentioned, getting things back. So, you know, what about returning a security mm-hmm. deposit? So you talked about that you got to make a security deposit. Well, you don't have to. A landlord doesn't have to charge one, but it's sure. always in the best interest of a landlord to charge a security deposit to protect their investment. Mm-hmm. But what about returning that security deposit? So, you know, security deposit disputes, you know, involve misunderstandings about when a landlord's entitled to actually keep the security deposit. That's where we get calls from our office from tenants. They're like, well, the landlord kept this. Well, we can't help you with that situation. That's not something our office can assist with. And then we'll get calls from the landlord saying that, you know, well, the tenant caused a lot of damage. That's why I'm keeping the security deposit. And we're kind of playing the middleman on this, where our office is solely for what the codes are, and our code only requires a lease. It doesn't require anything about security deposits. A landlord must return a security deposit plus the interest, like you'd mentioned, less any damages within 45 days after the tenancy ends. That is by Maryland law, and that is a very strict timeline for that. And as Donnie had mentioned, there are things that can happen if a landlord fails to do this. They could do up to three times that amount can be withheld plus the reasonable attorney fees. That could be expensive. If your monthly rent is $2,000 or $1,000 and you charge 2 months security deposit and then you're at $2,000 and that's up to three times that, you're looking at $6,000. That's a lot of money all of a sudden that's going to have to be paid out. So you want to make sure you're following through with all those.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to have in place so that these tenants aren't being, you know, taken advantage of in these situations. So mm-hmm. that is good.
And so, you know, what about the leases renewing automatically? So, you know, sometimes people think that their tenancy, you know, my tenant date, I started on April 1 of 2022. I'm ending on March 31st, 2023. You know, on April 1, 2023, what happens? Does it automatically renew or does it actually just end and all of a sudden I'm out of a place to live?
Right.
So, you know, many leases do have automatic renewal clauses. And that's what we mentioned earlier, that it would be good to review the lease prior to signing it, seeing what that automatic renewal process would actually be. Sometimes they can go from month to month. Sometimes they renew for a year. Sometimes they do just end at that time. So you want to be well aware of what it actually means when in your renewal policy. You know, it's good to know how many days in advance that a tenant just has to notify the landlord if the tenant doesn't want to renew the lease. So that's a good thing to review as well. Is it something you have to do 2 weeks, you know, 30 days, 60 days? You know, never know what it might actually be for that. And if the tenant does fail to, you know, give notice in time, does the lease actually renew automatically? Or does it just not renew? So, you know, it's something to be well aware of. And, you know, if a landlord can't show the tenant signatures or initials or another mark acknowledging that provision, then the landlord can't enforce the automatic renewal. So that could actually hurt a landlord by not making sure that they have that area actually initialed or signed. So as a landlord, you want to make sure if you have that automatic renewal provision that you're getting those initials or signatures by that area. And again, this is Maryland law type of things. And then also that, you know, some leases don't have automatic renewal provisions, like we said. So the tenant, you know, might need a new lease if they want to continue at that property. It might not renew all of a sudden. You might just be considered a tenant holding over, and then that's a term for eviction at that point.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully this is giving you a lot of information to make a checklist, you know, before you're renting out that next unit on both sides. You know, make sure you're asking the right questions, because there's a lot that goes into all of this. So, you know, we talked a lot about the responsibilities of the tenant and the landlord, but where does our office come into play? This is typically in rent escrow cases. In a rent escrow case, under Maryland law, if a landlord fails to repair serious or dangerous defects in a rental unit, you have the right to pay your rent into an escrow account established by the local district court. But the law is very specific about the conditions under which rent may be placed in escrow. The tenant must give the landlord proper notice and adequate time to make these repairs before you have the right to place the rent in escrow. This rent escrow account can only be set up by the court. Some of the serious or dangerous conditions include, but are not limited to, lack of heat, light, electricity, or water, unless you are responsible for the utilities and the utilities were shut off because you did not pay the bill. Lack of air conditioning is not considered a serious or dangerous situation that would permit rent escrow. Lack of adequate sewage disposal is another one of those conditions. Rodent infestation in two or more units. Lead-based paint hazards that the landlord has failed to reduce. the existence of any structural defect that prevents a serious threat to your physical safety, and the existence of any condition that presents a serious fire or health hazard. So it's good to know some of those items that would potentially satisfy that rent escrow requirement.
And that's a good point to that list. That's from, you know, Maryland law there, that those are the items that are the reasons why rent can go into escrow. We can certainly sit here and say we've received calls that don't really meet that classification. That people are always calling us because they want to put something in rent escrow because the sink in the bathroom doesn't work properly, or it doesn't turn off all the way and it drips. That obviously does not meet some of these type of qualifications. And so that's where it gets difficult for us, that a landlord might not even know about that repair that's needed. And then we're being called as the middleman to kind of let the landlord know about something. And a tenant was saying that I'm going to put my rent into escrow. And then we're getting brought into court sometimes to testify and what these conditions are. And then judges making a decision on what we're saying at the conditions of the place. And we do take photos of everything, so we're bringing them with us when we go to court. And it's up to a judge to determine whether or not a court actually will determine if rent escrow can be done. That's a judge's decision, not the city of Hagerstown's. So, you know, rent escrow is, you know, not provided for, you know, defects, you know, that makes the apartment or you know, a home, you know, less attractive, like I was just kind of mentioned. You know, just because, you know, the paint color doesn't look the best on the wall or it's starting to fade, that doesn't really mean that it's something that, like such as a small crack in the floor, the walls, you know, anything along those lines. That's not something that rent escrow really looks into. You know, so before a rent escrow can be established, you know, the court's going to hold a hearing to listen to both sides of the story. And at times, like we said, our office is called as well. So the tenant will usually bring the rent escrow case in. The tenant will speak. They might have a notice associated with our department for any violations that we found when we were called out for it prior to the hearing. And then the landlord, of course, will be able to speak to it as well. And if you're a tenant and this is the first time the landlord's ever heard of these things, it might not look good in court if you have that bad relationship of not explaining things to that tenant ahead of, or to the landlord ahead of time. Also, you know, once they have that hearing, that if there's a notice and we've been asked to attend, we'll testify as well during that court hearing to let anyone know what our findings are. We are just stating the findings. Mm-hmm. We are not on anyone's side, per se, as everyone likes to say, you're on so-and-so's side. We're not on anyone's side. We see what the items are in the home, what does not meet code. We identify those items and we just state those facts. If a judge asks for our opinion on something and saying, is that a life safety hazard? We will, of course, have to make that decision at that time if that violates a certain code for life safety. But we are just stating the facts of what's there. Sometimes if there's a rent escrow case, a tenant might be actually identifying items that are wrong in a property. We have not done the inspection. The landlord might identify that they're repairing those items or weren't aware of them, that our office gets called then, and then we have to go out and do that inspection of the place. And then we are being involved in a rent escrow case. So like Adonia mentioned, when do we get involved with these landlord-tenant relationships? Rent escrow cases. That's generally when we're getting involved with it. And so, you know, the judge, you know, then will take whatever actions appropriate associated with whatever the court hearing is. So however it happens, it might be over one day, it might be the course of a few weeks, just because our office has to get involved after the fact. Then, you know, the court then will determine, you know, if all or all the money that they have that's due to a landlord can be put into a rent escrow, depending on what the violations might have been. And then that's when things get tricky, where everyone needs to understand what a rent escrow case kind of means, because you're not actually paying the landlord at that point, but you are paying the court what the amount is.
Your rent, you know, right. You're not getting out of a rent payment.
Right. Yeah. So the one thing as a tenant you should understand, rent escrow doesn't mean you never have to pay your rent until the repairs are done. You're paying the court this amount, and then it's held in escrow. And then once the items are repaired, then the judge will determine what goes back to the landlord. So it can vary on that one. So always be kind of aware of what a rent escrow actually is. And then, you know, if the tenant opts out of withholding rent without establishing a rent escrow account, then the tenant, you know, you must notify your landlord by certified mail or of the problem in the unit and the tenant's refusal to pay rent. However, if the landlord could take the tenant to court, and even evict the tenant for failure to pay rent. So that's something you really need to be aware of, because you know they can say that they're just withholding payment.
And, yeah, we run into that a lot, right. Unfortunately. And you know the tenants think that's the correct way to go about things, but that's why we're talking about this today.
Right. So as a tenant, you really need to be aware if there are stipulations by Maryland law for rent escrow cases. You can't just be like, I'm not paying my landlord because they haven't fixed these items. You have certain terms that you have to meet as a tenant, not only filing the rent escrow or by certified mail, which, you know, we all know most people don't think send things certified mail. It's a little bit extra, but it does make receipt of the certified mail so that people know that that they've been notified of any potential issue. And again, it's always with the tenant, you know, gets a chance to defend themselves in court for whatever they're saying the landlord does as well. And then, you know, if anything does pose a serious threat to life, health, or safety, the tenant will be required to, you know, put the rent into escrow and then till the dispute is resolved. So the judge is kind of making those determinations. It's not our office, it's not a landlord, it's not a tenant. It is a judge that is in district court here in Maryland that will make that decision.
Yeah, and that's another confusion. You know, tenants will sometimes call us to thinking that we make those types of decisions when that is just not the case. We are not judges, so far from it. So besides rent escrow, what else can a tenant do if a landlord does not make the repairs? One thing they can do is to report the landlord to the local authorities. So under a law that the Maryland General Assembly passed in 1986, every county must adopt a housing code that meets minimum statewide standards. Some counties and Baltimore City have comprehensive housing and building codes that are enforced by local authorities such as us. The local authorities will investigate your complaint, and if the landlord is cited for the violations, repairs have to be made. Here in Hagerstown, we discussed code development back in our first episode. We have had a building code in place since the 1930s. The current property maintenance code that would be inspected for a rent escrow or a complaint case had the last comprehensive update in 2008. And there have been some minor code updates to be consistent with the state laws and local codes since that time. So it's nothing new. You know, these have been in place for, you know, a very long time.
Right, like we had mentioned in the first episode, that you know the code adoption here in Hagerstown, that you know the property maintenance code, you know people always ask that grandfathered in. The property maintenance code is a minimum standard is established for the jurisdiction. There's you know either it meets that minimum code, as what Donnie mentioned, that Maryland adopted a law in 1986 that says that we have to establish a minimum standard for living in the community. And that is why the property maintenance code has been adopted. And then it gets adopted over time because there's been updates, like you mentioned, state law, things we have to adjust. The state law adjusted back in, I want to say 2010, 2011, the fire or smoke alarm laws that we had to actually update our property maintenance code to match the state law because the state law completely changed. So we had to update our code as well to match that. So there are changes that occur through those code developments that you have to meet minimum standards for. You know, there are also requirements for lead paint laws in Maryland that landlords and tenants have to follow. The lead paint laws are very intense in the state of Maryland. Sometimes it's seen that Maryland is one of the more extreme states when it comes to lead paint laws compared to other states in the country. And especially as you move out west, it's not as common because, you know, it's all when as America was being developed and as we went from east to the west there. But, you know, basically lead paint laws fall for things that are homes that were built before 1978. And, you know, we always recommend working with an attorney to fully understand the Maryland lead paint laws because there are a lot of things that can understand that you might not even know exist out there with it, that you should really work with them. And our lead paint inspectors that are in our community know this law as well, very well. We are not lead paint inspectors. We cannot inspect for lead paint. We're asked a lot of times, there's lead paint in the home. Well, contact a lead paint inspector. That's not our department. We do not inspect for that. That's a special certification and testing labs that are involved. We do not have those capabilities here. And you know, but it would be a good topic for the future to talk about, though, in the future about some of the lead paint things, because we could focus one whole episode actually on lead paint laws here in the state of Maryland, that what's required.
Yeah, that is something we should talk about in the future. Let us know if you're interested in something like that. I'm curious.
So, you know, what could a tenant be evicted for? Because we kind of went through the whole stuff here. We're talking about getting an application, you're getting into it, then once you're living in the place, you might have to deal with maybe repair and maintenance issues. Mm-hmm. Now, what can you actually be evicted for, actually, as a tenant? So, you know, one of the first ones is non-payment of rent. We talked about it before, that you got to pay your rent. No matter what the situation is, rent needs to be paid. You can't live in a place for free. So, you know, a landlord can begin the eviction process. If rent is not paid on the day it's due, they could file the eviction paperwork the next day. Some of our local landlords, I will give them credit. They hold out on that. You go to these failure to pay rent court cases that they have every Friday morning here in our local jurisdiction, and it's amazing to see how long a landlord has waited to file for non-payment of rent. That shows our landlords are more than willing to work with people trying to get things resolved and payments.
Yeah, you brought it up earlier about how, you know, a landlord doesn't want to evict you because it is very costly on their end to do something like that. And, you know, they want to have those long-term tenants in there. That's why they wait so long to file these types of cases sometimes. They want to give somebody a chance to stay in that location. Mm-hmm. So that is interesting.
And one of the things is that although a landlord has to give you notice for if they're going to evict you, they do not have you give a notice to file a non-payment of rent. Mm-hmm. That's an agreed upon term of a contract that you as a tenant and the landlord agreed to. If you aren't paying your rent, they can just file a non-payment of rent case for it. You know, in some instances, the tenant can stop the process of an eviction if you have several non-payment of rents by, you know, the sheriff comes and just simply paying the rent that's owed, which does happen in not only our community, but others. And that can be frustrating to a landlord if they got to that point. Why didn't just pay already? Why do we have to wait till we get to this point when the sheriff's actually all set up? So it can be very frustrating. Also holding over, like we mentioned, if the lease wasn't renewed automatically and all of a sudden now you're a tenant holding over inside of a place. So meaning that, you know, your term of your lease has already expired and you're just staying in the property and you haven't moved out. That's another way that you can be evicted from the property. And then also the breach of lease, things that we mentioned earlier, such as the things like, you know, you had a pet inside the place. You didn't have all the carpeting requirements being met. You were parking all over the yard. You were making too much noise. Also, one of the things too we have is through our crime free provision that we have here in Hagerstown, with excessive use of city services, it's chapter 95, that, you know, if you breach the terms of that with violating the crime free provisions, that is a breach of lease. That you could actually be evicted for as well. So those are different things that, you know, you could be evicted for. You know, before going to court, the landlord must show that, you know, one month of advance notice was given to the tenant. So they do have to still know if you're breaching a lease, you have to give a 30-day notice for that as a landlord that they are breaching their lease. It can be 14 days if it's some sort of threat to other safety, but, you know, generally speaking, it should be 30 days. And it's supposed to show proof that the tenant violated the lease and that the violation one was a serious one. You know, if the landlord does begin the eviction process, the tenant will receive a summons for an actual hearing. So there is always a formal hearing for something along those lines, and the summons will go to the tenant, but generally it'll be mailed or posted at the rental property, and don't ignore it. If you're a tenant, don't ignore it. Don't think that it's just gonna go away. If I just ignore this, then I'll just be able to stay here and then nothing will happen. Now, you got to pay attention to what those are. These are court hearings, official documents. You do need to pay attention to those because, you know, you want to go to the hearing and make sure you show up on time. And, you know, if you don't show up, everything's still going to happen.
Right. And not only for the legal side of it, but also gives you as a tenant a chance to plead your case. You know, maybe you can show that you did pay rent or that the tenant tried to pay the rent, but the landlord wouldn't accept it. You know, those are cases sometimes. Also, maybe the landlord didn't give the tenant a month's written notice that the tenant had violated the lease and had to move out. Those are all instances where you want to show up to those hearings to plead your case if that happened. So if the judge rules in favor of the landlord, within 5 working days, the landlord could file a court order for the eviction. And this is called a warrant of restitution. And this arranges for a sheriff to oversee the eviction. A tenant may appeal an eviction judgment. The appeal must be made within the 4 days of the date of judgment in non-payment of rent cases and 10 days in breach of lease or holding over cases. The tenant may have to post a bond to cover the rent while waiting for the circuit court to decide on the appeal. And on the date of the eviction, a sheriff will come to the rental unit to order the tenant and everyone inside to leave. The landlord or landlord's employees can then remove all the property from the unit and put it in the public right of way. And once a property is moved from the unit, it is now the tenant's responsibility to remove it.
And which we refer to as set outs.
Yes, another instance where we come into play.
Right. So then it's one of the things that if we have a set out, then our office does get involved. That, you know, once a set out occurs, you know, the landlord does have 24 hours to get it off the sidewalk at that point. We are not letting furniture or debris block our sidewalks. That is a threat to public health and safety for our local citizens to go up and down the sidewalk. So if you are a landlord performing a set out, make sure you keep a clear path of the property so that people can walk up and down the sidewalk, but you only have 24 hours and then you got to start removing that stuff off the property. There's nowhere in Maryland law that we could find that says that it has to sit on the sidewalk for 24 hours. The sheriff may say that at times when they're setting stuff out there, but as soon as the first item's out there, they're saying 24 hours. As soon as we see it, it's 24 hours from the time that we see it. So we're not saying less time than what a sheriff may have told you when the items are being set out. We're giving you a little bit extra, but we do have an ordinance where it is 24 hours once a set out occurs that it's to be removed off a sidewalk. If not, we'll remove it, and that's an expense towards the landlord for those items. And if you're a tenant thinking that, well, landlord said I'll have it set out for a few days for you so you can take the items as you need it, yeah. That's not going to be the case because the city, if we see it, we're going to be taking it away within 24 hours. But we mentioned a lot of things today about some of our lease requirements and what things might be actually in a lease. But let's say if you're someone that's actually struggling, where are places actually help me?
Sure.
There's a lot of places that are established that can help you through difficult times. We can't go into dive into all of the ones that are out there for this
items. Which
is
a good thing. It means there's a lot of help out there.
That's right. Late payments and evictions do occur in every community. It's not just here in Hagerstown. It's not just in Maryland. It's in every community across the country that those do occur. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering who can help me, there are several resources available to you. Maryland Legal Aid is always one that can help you with understanding terms of your lease if there were breaches or holding over situations, non-payment of rent, or something that you might have done that you didn't know was in the lease. Maryland Legal Aid, you know, they're a private, nonprofit law firm that offers free legal services to people with, you know, limited incomes. So if you're someone that requires legal help to resolve a landlord-tenant dispute and are financially eligible for the service, this legal aid is certainly one that can help you throughout the whole entire state. We're, of course, here located in Western Maryland. So if you're someone listening to us, you know, the Western Maryland office is in Cumberland, and their number is 301-777-7474. So that's a place that Legal Aid can certainly assist you with. Also, we have, there's 211 in Maryland. Essentially, just call 211 and staff will connect you with the rental assistance. So that's another place that you can get some help from. We also have Maryland Emergency Rental Assistance Center. That's another place that you can get help with. And their number is 877-546-5595. And then also some local resources that we have that are just focused here in Hagerstown. We do have the Washington County Community Action Council. Our office works with them a lot for different situations that they can always help with. And their phone number is 301-797-4161. And then also, if you are someone that, you know, you're a landlord and you're a tenant and you want to just resolve everything, but you just can't do it yourselves, that you need someone just to kind of sit down and mediate that situation. We do have the Washington County Mediation Center, and their number is 301-665-9262. And those are some of the resources that we have that are available to people in our community. The Mediation Center can always help resolve things. I'm not saying everything can be mediated. We do know that, that not every situation can be, but it is a good resource to use when maybe things just are not working out the best. Maybe just get to a point where you might be able to mediate to resolve a situation. But as Donnie and I say before on these stuff, we're not attorneys. We don't know all the legals in and out of the law. We can research things that's on the Maryland websites for the Attorney General, that we can understand it, read the under situation, and let you know about it. But we're not attorneys. You should definitely contact people if you have legal questions on what you have to do as far as a lease goes or what you can file for in court. We're just providing our listeners with some general information. That's all we're doing.
Yep. So, you know, we gave you all that information. We want to hear from you too. You know, what do you want to hear in future podcasts? We mentioned the lead paint in a future podcast. Is that something you're interested in? You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching PCAD, City of Hagerstown, or the Hubbub Podcast. We are also on YouTube if you want to watch the podcast or if you just want to listen to us. We're on all major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much every podcast platform out there. So thank you for listening through all of that. Now it's time for our weird news story. This one has a funny title. When renting goes wrong, 6 tenant horror stories. I won't read all 6 of them, but I'll put the link in the description of the podcast so you can at home. So the title of this first instance is Left with Everything But the Kitchen Sink. So the members of the National Association of Independent Landlords, they submit stories to the organization about particularly harrowing lease disagreements. So one angry landlord reported a story where he leased an apartment to a tenant that stopped paying rent almost immediately. When he went to check up on the property, he became suspicious that the tenant was also stealing appliances from the apartment. He called the police, and when they questioned the tenant accused the landlord of trespassing and even said that she did not recognize the landlord. The police sided with the tenant at the time, and the landlord had to watch from across the street as the tenant took off with the property's washing machine. So that's a funny one. Not so much for the landlord, but hopefully they came out on the right side of things after that one.
Horrible story.
All right, so the next one's called The Con Man. This one, again, is from the National Association of Independent Landlords. A man with nice clothes and a nice car applied to rent an apartment. The landlord wanted to run a background check, but the man said he needed to rent immediately as his wife recently died. The sympathetic landlord gave the guy a break and let him rent the unit with no background check. After the first month, the landlord stopped receiving rental payments. It turns out the tenant filed for bankruptcy prior to signing the lease and did not legally have to pay rent while in bankruptcy court. The tenant got away with living in the unit free for 7 months. The landlord researched the guy later on and he found out that he's done this repeatedly. So it's always important to do that background check for sure. All right, so the final one I got here is called The Freeloader. The last one, you know, this one's probably the most shocking. So one landlord from Reddit had a sub-lessor in his apartment who would never pay rent and would only defecate in a box in the closet. It turns out it was a cat.
No.
That was a little funny one there for you.
As we say a lot of times, is being a landlord is not easy.
No.
That is not an easy job to have. Although it's you know, accused a lot of times by the tenants that it's just the landlord just, you know, collects money, but it is not. Being a landlord is difficult. When Donnie was mentioning one of the weird news stories there, the second one with the guy that came in the nice suit, I always remember Alan Johnson, the president of the Landlord Association. He would always tell a story about how he had a tenant that showed up that he rented to that right on the spot because of their story. And like we said, landlords are always very understanding, and especially in our local community, trying to always help people out. And it turned out to be a very bad situation for Alan. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand, and I can see that type of happen locally here. You know, we talked about all the stuff here for leases and some relationships with landlords and tenants today. Our next episode, we're going to talk about home ventilation. So I'm a little bit more along the lines that Donnie and I really understand, not so much on just some of this stuff that we can let you know about legal ease. But how does ventilation actually occur in homes? It's kind of interesting. As the codes develop, they're looking for tighter and tighter homes. But we do need air inside of these homes to breathe. So fresh air does need to be achieved. How does this happen? And what are the ventilation codes basically for, you know, existing homes? Kind of what do they are now for new homes and all these different types of tests that have to be done on new homes when they're constructed?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one for sure. Cool. So as we head out of our podcast here, we want to feature our musical guest. So this month we are featuring Promising Leith. So Chrissy Merson Richards, she has been singing since she has been walking, essentially. She formed her 6-piece band after meeting the musicians at an open mic night in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Promising Leith is a tribute to Chrissy's mom, Sandra Leith, And this is a promise to keep the name Leith alive as a family treasure and to foster her love for music across generations. So that's a super cool way to do that. And actually, in her family, 13 women over four generations have the middle name of Leith. They've been playing in West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. This will actually be their third year playing at the Greencastle American Legion Riders annual Spring Fling, and that's on April 30th. They also have an upcoming show at the Taco de Mayo on May 7th at the Canal Place in Cumberland. They will be among 11 bands performing at the Rock the Panhandle in Martinsburg, West Virginia on June 18th. They'll be in Rocky Gap in Cumberland, Maryland. They've actually invited them to perform on May 21st as an opening act for Kix. And they're also looking to expand into the Hagerstown area for some more shows. They won the Battle of the Bands and the Interstate Fall Back Wine Fest in Boonesboro in November 2021. And this actually landed them a spot in the Quad State Beer Fest Shamrocked 2022, and that's on June 11th. I said about the Rock the Panhandle in West Virginia there. They've also established a solid fan base playing local venues, such as the second annual Rock the Mountains Festival in Cumberland on June 25th. And then, best of all, they are coming to Hagerstown. They'll be playing the Imagine Hagerstown on July 22nd. So there are tons of opportunities there to go out and see Promising Leith. They're led by the soulful vocalist Chrissy Richards. She's accompanied by the rocking lead guitarist Lawrence Beck and Chris Sprankle playing the blues harmonica. The rhythm section is driven home by Joel Elvey on guitar. Matt Flowers is on bass, and Wayne Everett is on drums. And the band's sound and lighting engineer, Ken Banshoff, is actually a Hagerstown resident. And, you know, their sound, you know, bridges genres with covers from Lita Ford, The White Stripes, Pink, Foghat, Dorothy, Grace Potter, The Beatles, AC/DC, The Doors, Chris Stapleton, and Led Zeppelin. So they got a wide range there. And you can find them by searching on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And we'll hear feature their music as we take out the episode. So thank you for listening to the Hubbub Podcast, and let's listen to Promising Leith.